as Vivian said and read to us. We are just looking at a few verses this morning. A few verses that are unrelated to the book of Acts, which we've been going through, and unrelated to Christmas, which we then looked at lots of things. For a start of a new year, and I suppose earlier I should have said the usual, Happy New Year! Oh, Happy New Year, by the way. But I forgot. But for many years now, I've sought the Lord for a kind of snappy verse for the year. You know, something we can easily learn and commit to memory. So this year, I did the same thing. I, asked the Lord, kept coming up. Just, the snappy verse didn't come. The outcome was a bit different. Instead of a snappy verse, we have verses for the year. Naturally, they're the obviously the verses that Vivian just read to us. But they're part of a psalm, which is a great psalm. I'd recommend reading the whole thing. And they seem a bit out of context to me. I mean, I struggled with them for a bit, thinking, well, they're great verses, but why these verses? Well, I'm going to look at these verses in a bit. First of all, I want to set the scene. Psalm 139, as I said, is a good psalm. It's an incredible psalm. And you'll find that it points to three key things about God. They're kind of known as the omni attributes, which might sound like a kind of new sci-fi blockbuster, or might sound a bit complicated, but it really is neither of those things. Let me explain very briefly. These are three things about God. And there are three things that we would do well to get a good grasp of if we haven't. Okay? Omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. Now, don't turn off just because, they sound a bit odd. Omniscience means God is all-knowing. Omnipotence means God is all-powerful. And omnipresence means that he is present everywhere. There is nowhere that he is not. And that the three work together. He knows what needs to be done. That's omniscience. He has the power to do it. That is omnipotence. And he is always where whatever it needs to be done can be done. That is omnipresence. Now, verses are focused on the last one, omnipresence. And in some ways, I think this is probably the most difficult one for us to get a kind of grasp of, because the idea of God being omnipotent, of being all-powerful, is not that difficult, really, is it? Because I think we can get that, because humanly, some people are more powerful and some people are less powerful than others, and so we can kind of handle the idea of God being more powerful than any other. The same thing can be said for omniscience, in plain English, wisdom, being all wise. We humans all have wisdom to a greater or lesser extent. Even I've got a little bit, which is miraculous in itself. We've all got some, haven't we? So we can handle the idea that God has got more than anybody else. He is wiser than anybody else. But when it comes to being everywhere, I think we struggle because, handy as it would be, we can't even be in two places at once, can we? Let alone everywhere. So the idea of God being able to be everywhere, to be omnipresent, it's just mind-blowing. But that's where we're at this morning. Let's turn again then to those verses. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overcome me or cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Some good verses. Let's pray and ask the Lord to open them up to us. Lord, we just need your wisdom. We need your power. We need your presence with us. Please, Lord, would you open our hearts and our minds to your words, that we may understand your word. Would you lead us on, we pray. Would you root your word in our hearts, that we may be those who are obedient to you, glorify you, and as a result are blessed by you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, by these verses and the other verses around it, it seems that David's having his quiet time with the Lord, and he is just stunned by the realization that God is ever present at every point in history and every part of creation. It is a big thing to think. Just saying that is just incredible, isn't it? He is ever present in every point of history and every part of creation. And as David chews over how God knows him and he knows him inside out, he just wonders, if I wanted to, how would I go about hiding from God? How'd I do that? Heaven, hell, east, west, way across the seas, all over the oceans, it makes no difference because the Lord our God is already there. As well as being here, he's there. And he's on the journey. Day or night. No issue at all. God doesn't sleep. And his night vision is as good as his day vision. The gist of this is, it's very complicated. It's very difficult. Which is why this morning we're going to pull it apart a little bit and have a look at this omnipotence thing. And look at it not just as a kind of scientific or a kind of language thing, but what does it mean to us? What does it mean for us? First, and this should be obvious to us, but God is not just limited to church buildings. Even old Solomon got that when he built the first temple in Jerusalem. But it's something that we can find ourselves buying into if we're not careful. Yes, God is going to be more tangibly present when we are meeting together in worship. But he is everywhere, and he promises us specifically that if we are believers, he will be taking up a lodging in our hearts. Number two, another important thing that's worth mentioning is related to this. God is not in created things. Some religions teach that nature and God are the same thing. And that is seriously off the mark. It is way, way off the mark. God creates, God sustains everything, but he is no more part of his creation than James Dyson is part of his latest vacuum machine. Really, it's as stupid as that. We mustn't be taken in by it. Third, God is always present, whether we believe it or not, whether we want it or not. When David was writing this, he was asking, where can I hide from God? And the plain truth is, you cannot hide from God. God made everywhere. God is everywhere. And being everywhere, he sees everything that we are doing, be it good, bad, or ugly things. Now, obviously, for Christians, this is really, really great news. Most of the time, isn't it? But maybe again you're thinking, but I can't always feel that God is with me. I don't always get that kind of warm, fuzzy love feeling. God is with me. Well, when you're in that situation, let me point you back a long way, actually, to the second book of Kings, verses 6, 8 to 18. Have a read of it later. It is worth a read later. That's 2 Kings 6, 8 to 18. But roughly what happens is this. Elisha and his servant, a man called Dothan, they're in a really sticky situation. They're completely surrounded by vast and mighty armies from a place called Aram. Now, I know that two or three, probably months ago, I used this as an illustration, but it's worth checking out again. So these armies, they're surrounding. And once Dothan realizes this, he freaks out. And he freaks out big time. And he shouts out, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "Don't panic." And then he said something that Dothan struggled with. He said, "Those that are with us are more than those that are with them." Now, Dothan is standing there counting the small amount of soldiers that they've got and the vast array that are around them. And he's scratching his head. And I guess he probably thought that Elisha was losing the plot at this point. But in verse 17, we read that Elisha prayed and that Dothan's eyes might be supernaturally opened. His spiritual eyes might be opened. And they were, and he looked up, and he saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God is always with us. So next time you are struggling, you might not always get that warm, fuzzy feeling, but God is with us. Next time you're struggling, pray yourself and ask others to pray with you, that you will have a glimpse of God's presence all around us, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Maybe you're kind of in a real mess and you think, I need a new house, or I need a new job, or I need a new area, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. Maybe you don't need any of those things at all. Maybe what you actually need is to know that God has got you covered where he's put you. He's got you covered right where you are. Next, and this is often misunderstood in churches, and again, it's a really important point. Satan is not omnipresent. Don't like to talk about Satan too much, because actually we want to talk about the Lord, the King of Kings. But it's important that we get a grasp of this. He is not omnipresent. Please don't ever get the idea that the devil is like some kind of junior god. You know, he can do everything that God can do, but at a kind of lower level. Satan is a created being, and so he is limited and localized in the spirit realm, as are all the angels and all the demons. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Satan is harmless. Really, I'm not saying that. He is not harmless, and he will do all he can to cause upset through a vast group of demons who will work out his hellish will. But he himself is no more omnipresent than you or I are. He can't even be in two places at once. Anyway, that's enough of the father of lies. Let's get back to our omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent father of life. The next point, I think, is so comforting. The fact that God is everywhere and in all situations means that he is present in the most difficult, the worst moments in life. And he is completely there. He's there in the midst of suffering, of pain, of sickness, of anger, of sorrow, of grief, of bitterness, divorce, betrayal, murder, rape, sexual abuse, cancer, COVID, AIDS, abortion, warfare, famine, earthquakes, fires, floods. I've got a long list, but there are, you know, you can add them in. He is there. He is there. He is never not there. Yes, our God promises to draw near to anyone who will draw near to him. That is a really important promise. Let's just look at the way that some of those promises are put in through the Bible. I'm not going to pick them all out because there are so many. But Deuteronomy 31:6, we find that Moses came to the end of his long life. And he reminded his people, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Matthew 28:20, Jesus promised, "I am with you today, tomorrow." No, I'm with you always. Always. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says this, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." You know, for believers, this is a really beautiful truth, I think, because he is omnipresent. He is always with you wherever you go, 24 hours a day. You've always got his full attention. He is never too busy. You don't have to make an appointment. He's never too busy to hear you when you pray. I mean, I often think about this. Can you imagine what it would be like if we prayed only to have an angel answer on an answer phone and tell us, "I'm sorry, but God is busy handling some more important things at the moment. Please call later, or leave your name and number and someone will get back to you as soon as possible." Now, God doesn't do that. That will never happen, because God is fully available to you. No matter where you are, no matter what the situation. If there are a million crises in a million different places, our God hears you as if you're the only one praying. Hold on to that, it's important. Here's another really important point about God's omnipresence. And as I've been saying for the last while or so, God's omnipresence means that he is wholly present everywhere. He is wholly present everywhere. He's not like... See, it's difficult to find a way of putting this. I'll try this one. He's not like a slab of butter where he's kind of thinly spread over a piece of toast, feeling hungry already. No, it's not like that. You get all of him. He's always everywhere. And it's an important thing to let sink in a bit, I think. All of God is completely present in every point, every tiny measurement in the universe, all the time. He's present fully, as if he were nowhere else. But of course he is. He's everywhere. Now maybe you're thinking, well, you say that, Pastor, but honestly, I'm just not getting it. And if you in that situation, try this picture. Trust me, it's better than the butter one. Think about a kind of Wi-Fi or a radio signal. You know, it's invisible, yet it is right here this morning. Right here, kind of all over the place. There are microwaves, there's electrical energy, it's everywhere. We can't see them. All sorts of things and all sorts of forms around us. They're here, but we're not necessarily aware of them because we are not tuned in to the frequency. We're not tuned in to the right frequency, and that is a similar thing that happens with God and us. He is always there, but we sometimes need a retune. We'll consider that in a few seconds. But my final point, though. God can be ignored. You can ignore him if you want, but you can never avoid him. If you're not a believer here this morning, this point ought to get you thinking. It really ought to get you thinking. In Genesis 16:13, God is described as El Roi, which simply means God who sees me. By the way, I want to underline that this isn't a kind of threat from the pulpit thumping preacher. I can thump the pulpit occasionally, but I'm not doing that this morning. It's a warning. From a God-fearing, God-loving preacher. The thing is, God has given us time. He's given us freedom to choose our eternal destiny. And it's a binary choice. It is heaven or it is hell. And maybe you actually know that. Maybe you think, well, yeah, I've heard that before. Got that. But let me just clarify an important thing for us. Because often that choice is portrayed as something like a T-junction. You know, you come up to a T-junction, you can go to heaven or you can go to hell. Yes, portrayed as that picture, that is the wrong picture. It's not like that at all. Here's the picture. It's actually a two-way road, a two-way destination. You are going one way on that road. You're going in one direction, and everything else is heading in the other. The direction, your default direction, is heading away from God. So do you see the importance of the difference in the picture? People often say, well, you know, I'll wait and see. I'll look out for that choice at the T-junction later on, when I'm less busy, when I've got this, when I've got that, when I've done this, when I've done that. But there is no choice when you come to the end of the road, because you've reached your destination. When you come to the end of the road, you will have the choice that you have already made along your journey. The choice is, stay on the road heading the wrong way, or do a U-turn. The Bible puts it as a repentance. Do a U-turn. Repent. Accept God's forgiveness and have him drive you in the right direction. So today, as you travel along that road in either direction, let's remember that God is there with us. He doesn't miss a thing. Think of it, every sin you commit is committed in the presence of God. I mean, it's awful, isn't it? But it's true. He hears every lie. He knows when you cheat on your tax. He hears when you swear under your breath. He takes note of every broken promise. He knows what's going on in here. He's watching over you. You can ignore him, but you cannot avoid him. So we've done a bit of a whistle-stop tour of looking at God's omnipresence, and we've seen some things that, I don't know, some things that maybe we ought to apply to our lives if we've gone through. There'll be different things for all of us, perhaps. But I believe the Lord has something clear, something straight, and something personal to say to us all today as we step into the next new year together. And it's the question that we parked a few minutes back. Is it time for a serious retune in your life? Now, you and I can do all sorts of things. We can pretend to ourselves that we are on God's wavelength. We can pretend that we're tuned in. We can pretend too to each other that we are tuned in. But there is someone who is with us 24/7 who knows whether we are tuned in or not. And we really cannot fool him. Is it time for a retune in your life? Now I'm just going to show some straightforward questions for us that I believe will help us to get a handle on the answer to that. How much retuning or fine-tuning do we need? Because even if we are tuned in, it can sometimes get a bit fuzzy, can't it? It can sometimes break up a bit. We can sometimes miss things. So here are my questions, which will help. Some may challenge you, some may not. But as I say, your and my reactions and answers to those questions will definitely give a steer on how the personal tuning job is looking for us. So here we go. Is turning up Sunday to worship, is it a habit? Or is it a desire? Do you want to be here? Do you want to come? Or do you just turn up because that's what you do, it's Sunday? If you are away for a number of Sundays, will you be found worshipping on those Sundays? Or is it just a day off from the Lord? We've established he doesn't take a day off from us. Do you take time to get along and join with others in prayer? Do you just support things in church life that you like? Do you have gifts that you're not using? Is home group important to you, or is it just a kind of, well, I'm too busy? Lastly, how do you feel about being asked these questions? That's a serious question to kind of mull around in our hearts and heads, because, you know, some bloke standing up there preaching can really annoy you at times. If you're getting annoyed, have a word with the one who is there 24/7 and ask him to work it all out. There are plenty, plenty more questions that we could toss around, aren't there? But as we kind of tune in or out of our health check. Let's just chew over the ones that we've had here. I believe, though, that there is one last one, perhaps one last one, that we should pick up a bit as we close, and it's this. Do you set aside some time for a quiet time? That is time to deliberately come close to God. Do you do that every day? Do you do that more than once a day? I mean, every day is good, more than once a day, as many times you like, but do you at least do it once a day? James 4:8 challenges us with these words. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You could put it like this. God is with you if you are with God. If you're away from God, one of you has moved. And I'll give you a clue. It won't have been him. How is your quiet time with God? Does it exist? Has it fizzled out? Maybe it's going well. How is it for you? I believe that our personal walk with God is the very thing that will determine what we will do and what we won't do. It will determine how we deal with life and the stuff of life and all of the stuff that life throws at us. It will affect our attitudes. It will affect our behaviours. It will affect how we deal with temptations and challenges. The simple truth is, the closer we choose to come to God, the more we seek him, the more we want to know of him, the more we will actually choose to obey him, and then we will find him more, and we will know him more, and we will find ourselves led by him more, and we will find ourselves blessed by him more. And maybe you're thinking, well, great, but I know that's a good idea, and I've heard it over and over again, but I just haven't got the time, too busy. I'm going to be rude here. You're not too busy. Get out of bed early. Stop watching something. If you're serious about your quiet time, if you're not, then stay in bed. Carry on watching something. I'm not ordering you around. I'm just dispelling the myth that you're too busy. I can say those things. I've used those excuses myself. I don't doubt that at some point in the future I'll do it again. We're not too busy. But maybe you're thinking, well, no, I'm not too busy, but how do I go about this? It's just so difficult. Well, hopefully our little bit of origami earlier will give you a bit of a clue, but I think I'll just say one thing, really, to assure you, it is as easy as falling off of a log, and there are just as many ways to do it. Just take some quiet time to sit quietly. You know, quietly can be relative. Particularly if you've got young children, it can be relative, can't it? But just sit quietly. You can start by reading a psalm or a chapter of a gospel each day. If you're not sure how to go about anything, pray, asking the Lord to come close to you. Ask him to help you to understand the things you're reading, to see the things he wants to say to you. And ask him to lead you through the day. And maybe you think, but the only time I can really do my quiet time is at the end of the day. Well, ask him to lead you through the next day then. It's as easy as that. Ask him to kit you out with his armour for that day too. And ask him to keep reminding you of his presence, because we need reminding, don't we? And to keep reminding you of the things that he will have you do and the things that he will have you not do. You can use daily readings to help too if you want. There are a whole load of books and things that will come through the post. There are some already out on the table in the front there. If you want to find something, I tell you, a good man to ask George Anderson. He has a great treasure trove of advice on which ones are good and which ones to put in the bin. Ask him. Ask me if you want. Ask somebody you know who's got this bit kind of going okay, and they've used things in the past. But do it. The most important thing is make a start and keep on going on. Just start off with that thing you can manage and let it grow. Don't try and climb a mountain. Just start at the foothills. Get in the habit. And you'll find that you wonder why you stopped, or you wonder why you never started. So as we head into a new year, let's encourage each other in getting retuned and staying tuned. We all need each other. We all need each other. That's why home groups are so important. We can share with each other and lift each other up and encourage each other and have fun together as well, you know. Having fun is allowed occasionally, as long as you don't do it too often. But seriously, we need each other. Get alongside each other. And now let's lift each other to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray.